Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jody Peterson, and I'm here with Corey Stanton. Tonight, we're hosting a live 30-minute show with five officials from Ridgeway and Ouray, and we're taking listener questions related to COVID-19. This program is a call-in show that was recorded live on Tuesday, April 7th. Next Tuesday, April 14th, we'll have a live call-in show again. Our guests for that show will be two survivors of COVID-19 and a healthcare professional. Stay tuned to KVNF for more details. First, we'll speak with Preston Neal, Ridgeway Town Manager, and John Clark, Mayor of Ridgeway. In the second half of the show, our guests will be Tanner Kingery, Public Health Director for Ouray County, Greg Nelson, Ouray's Mayor, and Don Batchelder, Ouray County Commissioner. First up, we have Preston Neal, Ridgeway Town Manager, and John Clark, Ridgeway's Mayor.
Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, we can. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. We appreciate you putting this together. Thank you.
Yeah, and we have a question from a listener, I think.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, well, then we will ask a question that we got an email from JT, who says, we understand that all curbside recycling conducted by Bruin is going to the landfill right now during the COVID-19 crisis, along with the trash. Alternatively, is there any possibility of the town procuring a set of dumpsters for recycling and placing them out at the soccer field parking lot until hand-sorted recycling resumes in Montrose?
Jody, this is Preston Neal, Ridgeway Town Manager. Great question there. Interesting that Bruin Waste has decided to go that route in relation to diverting all recycling to the landfill. And still charging the recycling fee on top of that. It's something that's been on our radar, and we've had conversations with Bruin officials, and it's something we'll continually monitor and really try to delve into our franchise agreement with them to understand what avenues we might have for remedy. Specific to the question, though, that's not something we've explored yet. I think that's a really neat idea, and again, we have not run that by any of our town staff members or elected officials, but it's certainly something that we could explore here in the coming days.
Okay, great.
Yeah, this is John Clark. I would just add that while I like the idea, I can, of course, see some potential pitfalls involved, whether we're talking bears, you know, and the whether it's bears or ravens getting into it. That could be a problem. Plus, sorting is an issue, although as you know, most everybody just commingles their recycling at this point anyway, so maybe that's not a problem. It's something we could definitely explore. And for my part, I'll say in the meantime that my wife and I have arranged to have a place in our house where we're just storing all our recyclables sorted to make it easier to do it. And we're just planning on hanging on to them as long as we can, hoping that it'll come back soon.
Okay, great. And we have some listener questions, or we have actually some of our own questions here from KVNF.
Yeah, I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm with Jody Peterson here on this live Local Motion. And here's a question for you. Ridgeway implemented a disaster declaration on March 17th. Are you considering extending this declaration? If so, what would you extend it to for the town?
Thanks, Corey. So in my role as town manager, I implemented a declaration of local disaster emergency on March 17th, I believe it was. Subsequent to that, I think it was on March 20th, the Ridgeway Town Council extended the declaration to May 14th. So the end date at this point is May 14th. And as we get closer to that date, we'll continue, as all of the other jurisdictions are currently doing, we'll continue to evaluate the pandemic outlook and the potential need to extend the declaration if need be. As you probably already know, the governor extended the stay-at-home order last night all the way out to April 26th. So in terms of what it does for the town, an emergency declaration, it allows a local jurisdiction, such as the town of Ridgeway, to request additional resources from the state and federal governments to assist in response and recovery efforts. It doesn't really guarantee funding, but it certainly helps the local government jurisdiction pursue assistance in an event like this.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I understand we have a question from a listener on the phone.
Yeah, we should have Sue from Ridgeway on the line here.
Hi, guys. Sue Williamson here. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make the public and you all aware that I took advantage of the mental health hotline, 24-hour hotline, on my daughter's birthday when I woke up to a lot of panic regarding COVID and also, of course, being a victim of crime in Ridgeway. After explaining to her all of the emotions and isolation and being bullied for too long as a reporting party of crime, I was told that one person could not do anything to change an entire town against them. I'm worried for those others like myself who have been isolated because of victim of crime, and then now on top of that, the COVID panic. What can you gentlemen do to help?
So it sounds like the question is some kind of resources for mental health in Ridgeway.
Yes, thank you, Sue, for the question. I represent Ridgeway's jurisdiction on what's called Unified Command, and that is a conversation that's been held at that level a variety of times. Mental health resources, especially during a time of a pandemic and stay-at-home orders and local public health orders that have been enacted, and that sense of isolation that can creep up on you. Again, to reiterate, that's a conversation we've held with local law enforcement officials as well as mental health centers in nearby Montrose and other jurisdictions to figure out what kind of resources we can make available to those who are in need. I know that's a very general and vague answer, but that's something that we're currently working through. I feel, in my opinion, we're still in the infancy of all this. Again, that's my opinion. And so here in the coming days and weeks, I fully expect that we'll ramp up those efforts to send out resources and make them available to folks who need them in relation to mental health, domestic violence. I think it's no secret that jurisdictions around the nation are going to see and have already seen in some aspect a spike in domestic violence occurrences and cases. And so it's going to be imperative that we get that addressed here soon.
Thank you for the
and
call,
I would just
Sue.
I would just add that the Center for Mental Health out of Montrose has a Ridgeway office, and they are they're taking calls. They can set up in person with proper social distancing, of course, appointments, and I'm sure they'll do anything they can to support you. And I would just echo Preston's statement that you know, we're making sure that the Ridgeway Marshal's office is responding in due haste to any reports of domestic violence and the like. So we're doing everything we can.
All right. Thank you, Mayor John Clark. And we also have another question from KVNF staff here. Ridgeway has been working on a formal response plan for different stages of the pandemic, or at least that's my understanding. Can you describe that plan and where things are at now with that formal plan?
Sure. So back on the 17th, the town put into effect a standalone COVID-19 response plan, and it's really guided us ever since. The plan provides guidelines, really, for how we deal with the pandemic, and specifically it addresses the continuity of operations. It identifies and focuses on critical and essential services. Right now, we're at Tier 4 of the plan, which is like full implementation / code red. So in light of the governor's stay-at-home order and all the other local public health orders, we've maximized teleworking, staggered work schedules with a focus on those critical and essential services that are identified in that plan. But even with our facilities closed to the public, the town of Ridgeway is still open for business. Each individual department has its own response plan and details how operations have been modified and how to contact certain staff members. So we're doing our best to remain responsive to any questions or needs that come up.
Great. And we have another caller on the line. This is Suzanne from Paonia. Hi, Suzanne. Are you on the line with us?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. And did you have a question for Ridgeway?
I do. It's actually a kind of a multi-part question that has to do with your public meetings and getting the information out to the public. And I was wondering how you're handling your board meetings, your public meetings with the public comment, especially for those without internet access. How how are they accessing information about the meetings without internet and the ability to go to a library? And how are you notifying people of meetings if they don't have email? And then another part to that would be, how do you get the information out to the public without doing it on Facebook or email?
Preston, you want to tackle that first?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've fine-tuned it yet, because I you're probably still experimenting with different systems like Peonia is, but
yeah.
I was wondering how Ridgeway is doing.
Yeah.
We definitely are, and that's a good, really good question.
Yeah, thanks for the question. So the town, shortly after the emergency declaration, adopted an electronic participation policy, which affords the town the ability to hold meetings remotely, and it's very similar to what other municipalities are doing, like Ouray and Montrose, up and down the Western Slope and across the nation, really. So we're using, we're currently utilizing a platform called Zoom Meeting. I think it's one of the best or most well-known virtual meeting platforms. And, you know, our next town council meeting is tomorrow evening. So we have posted, publicly noticed that council meeting in the same fashion we do your standard, regular, and special council meetings. We have physical public notice locations around the town core here in Ridgeway, and we're also we post it on the website. Your question is a good one with regard to folks who can't necessarily access it via the internet because they don't have access to the internet. Again, that's where the public noticing physical locations come into play. In addition to the Zoom meeting virtual platform, there is a call-in option. So for folks who have cell phones or landlines, they can certainly, just call in, and they're not afforded the ability to see a screen that's shared throughout the course of the meeting, but there is that standalone call-in option.
Okay. I know Peonia had a concern with Zoom because of the hacking, all the stuff about hacking that we're hearing on the news. And I know that...
Yeah, we have that too.
...get hacked, but what about the computer option? Are you concerned about that?
Yes, we're very concerned about that, I'll be honest. And we're doing everything we can to avoid that happening by employing the best practices and the recommended preventative measures to keep folks from, I think the term is called Zoom bombing, or hacking the meeting. It sounds funny, but it's really not. A number of local jurisdictions now have been hacked, and it's really a shame. So I can assure you we're looking to do everything we can to avoid that, and if it means that we need to find a different platform to host our meetings, we'll certainly explore that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I suggest, and I don't know if you've considered it, but maybe in your phone system to put an option if people want to hear the latest information about town meetings, they can push number 3 and hear when the next dates are. People are trying to isolate and stay at home, so they don't have to leave the house to find a posting location.
Great idea.
Thank you, and we're just out of time here for Ridgeway, but thank you, Suzanne, for calling. And thank you, Preston Neal, Ridgeway Town Manager, and John Clark, Mayor of Ridgeway. We appreciate you joining us.
If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KVNF, and this call-in show was recorded live on Tuesday, April 7th.
I'm Corey Stanton. I'm with our news director, Jody Peterson. We are speaking live on Tuesday, April 7th, with representatives of Ouray County and the towns of Ouray and Ridgeway.
And next up, we have Tanner Kingery, Public Health Director for Ouray County, and Greg Nelson, Ouray's Mayor, and Don Batchelder, Ouray County Commissioner. The first question we have, are you all there? Tanner, Greg,
yes, ma'am.
Don? Great. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. And the first question we have for you is from an anonymous listener. This question was actually asked last week of Delta officials, but we didn't have time to answer it. But I think it applies to any county or municipality. And the question is, are citizens responsible for notifying authorities about businesses that are not complying with the governor's order regarding social distancing? For example, if a local business offers a weekly pop-up cafe that advertises food to go, but customers are actually going inside the business and staying for a while, sitting at indoor tables and eating coffee and pastries, having coffee and pastries, what should somebody do about that situation?
Sure. This is John Batchelor, County Commissioner, and I can answer that question. We're the orders that were issued are basically issued from the health department. The ultimate responsibility for enforcing those is the health department through the sheriff's office. Given that Ouray County has very limited resources, most of enforcement happens on a complaint basis. So while it may not specifically be the responsibility, we would greatly appreciate if any citizen sees any sort of violation of the orders or suspected violation of the orders, that they call the local law enforcement.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
And another question, this is from Val. Has Ridgeway County explored Has Ouray County explored the possibility of countywide C19 antibody testing as San Miguel County has done with United Biomed? If not, why not?
Tanner, do you want to answer that or do you want me to answer that?
Go ahead, Don.
Okay, so we were approached by some local people, and we are still being approached by local people who are in contact with the people that did the San Miguel testing. The recommendation from our medical advisors was that the expense at this point probably would not be worth it. It would not give us information we needed, and to actually put the to do the test, we would deplete almost all of our personal protection equipment supplies for our emergency services. So the county commissioners elected not to go that route.
Okay, thanks so much for the answer. And now we have a question from KVNF staff. So since Ouray County lacks a hospital, what are the plans to help people with severe cases of COVID who do require hospitalization? Is there going to be, I assume, transportation to Montrose or Grand Junction?
Hi, this is Tanner. I can help answer that. So the process for people going to the hospital and transport to the hospital isn't different right now. We just have enhanced measures with PPE and personal protective equipment for those first responders. So Ouray County is served by Montrose Hospital and Delta Hospital and, you know, further on up in the St. Mary's Grand Junction area. So we have hospitals that are dedicated to and assigned to Ouray County. So that doesn't change in this situation.
Okay. And this is Corey Stanton for KVNF. The county held a meeting recently about COVID-19 disaster emergency policies. What was discussed? What has come out of that meeting?
So this is Tanner. I'm not exactly sure which meeting you're referring to about emergency.
Yeah,
policy.
We had seen some information indicating that Ouray County was discussing its emergency policies in relation to COVID-19.
I can potentially shed some light on that. This is Don Batchel again. The county, every official meeting it has had, and then the numerous special meetings we've had since the 1st of March has addressed this, but generally the way almost all that is happening is through an incident command system, which I think Preston previously referred to, and Tanner is on the incident command on that. And basically they are handling the bulk of the day-to-day. When there are specific recommendations for policy changes, consideration of policies, actions, or those type of things, then they are referred to the governing bodies, whether it's Ouray County, City of Ouray, or Town of Ridgeway for consideration.
Thanks. And this is probably more of a question perhaps for the mayor. How are businesses faring in Ouray? Can you tell us about any that are managing to hang on, you know, maybe restaurants that are now have shifted to providing takeout? And also, are there businesses that are stepping up to help with COVID-19 efforts in some way?
Absolutely. This is Greg Nelson with the City of Ouray. I'm actually very proud of my community and how they've stepped up to help out, whether it's the business community or just our citizens in general. We do have a couple of restaurants that are still serving food for takeout. For instance, Artisan Bakery is doing lunches and breakfasts. They're also doing baked goods for people to come and pick up. We have a couple restaurants that are still operating for takeout on a couple of nights a week for family-style meals as well. I believe the Full Tilt Saloon, the goods, that sort of thing, are still operating. We have a couple of stores that are available by appointment for people to come in. We have a couple that are still open on limited hours, restricting access. But, for instance, Duckett's Market, our grocery store, and the Uray Meat and Cheese Company, they are going out of their way to make sure our citizens are well provisioned. They're taking on new items that they may not normally take on in inventory to help people out. They're offering to help the social services people with any orders they can do for them. We've got citizens stepping up and paying it forward by providing gift cards to citizens, to also making donations to the Uray Meat and Cheese and Duckett's Market to pay for meals that citizens might not otherwise be able to do. So the city of Uray has responded tremendously, and I'm extremely proud of them.
Okay, great. And what will the summer look like in Uray? How will the town deal with a lack of tourists, given that its economy relies so heavily on visitors?
Yeah, it's no secret that the city of Uray derives about 85% of its income from the tourism trade. So the longer this goes on, the more heavily it's going to impact the city. We've got a number of businesses that are changing their business model to reflect more online sales to try and help make ends meet. But we've got a lot of our businesses. We've been working through our Community and Economic Development Committee to make sure that all of the federal support funding that there is available to them can actually make it to them. We're helping them with the getting to the right people for the application process, getting to the right programs for them. But the longer we're in this, the tougher it's going to be for the community. And so we're trying to support the business community as much as we can, and hoping that we get a successful resolution as soon as possible and get back to as close to normal as we can.
Yeah, and so has there been any, this is Jody Peterson, has there been any help forthcoming yet? I understand there's some state and, you know, federal efforts to help struggling business owners, but those probably haven't really manifested yet.
So the federal application process is really in its infancy. There's a couple of different programs that are available to business owners. There's the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or called EIDL, that has a couple of different programs within it. There's the Paycheck Protection Program, or the PPP program. The application process is really just kicking off. For instance, the one of the programs last week, they went through three different online applications trying to get it to where it is as simple as possible for people applying. The websites have been tied up. There's been a lot of difficulty in getting through, so it's been slow. Unfortunately, the programs that are dedicated towards cities from the federal government are really geared towards cities or counties that have more than 500,000 residents. So we're trying to work with the state of Colorado to take the additional $2.2 billion they're getting in for municipal funding and trying to make sure it gets down to the small county, small municipality level. And that's going to be key for us. That may not happen with this round of stimulus funding, but the federal government is talking about doing another round of stimulus funding more geared to smaller municipalities.
Okay. And this is Corey Stanton again. What kind of volunteer efforts and community resources are going on in Uray County?
So this is Tanner. I can talk about that a little bit. We've recently partnered with Tri-County Health Network out of Telluride to help be our volunteer coordinator and mobilizer. So we're working out a plan right now with them to get volunteers organized, get a plan for them, get them assigned on what duties they could do and what their skills are, and move forward with volunteers in an organized way with Tri-County Health Network.
And this is Don Batchelor. Let me weigh in on that a little bit. The Uray County and both municipalities in the county Uray and Ridgeway are pretty tight-knit communities. So there's ongoing efforts at more at governmental level support systems, but the communities in and of themselves, and I think Greg reflected on this, are very, very supportive communities. So informally, there's huge efforts with people just checking on other people and picking up groceries for them and picking up mail for them and making sure they're okay. So the citizens are doing a huge amount. It makes this a great community to live in.
Great. And I think we're almost out of time now, unfortunately. We did have one final question for you, which probably a lot of our listeners are wondering, is there is a stay-at-home order in place until at least April 26th. But after that, we're probably all wondering when the hot springs might be opening again.
You know, as soon as the state determines it's safe for us to be able to do that, we are very much looking forward to having the hot springs open again. I know most of us that have been working around here could really use a good soak about now. So hopefully we'll be back to business as usual pretty quickly, and we'll be able to welcome people to Uray with open arms.
All right. Great. Thank you so much. And we've been speaking with Greg Nelson, the mayor of Uray, along with Tanner Kingery, public health director for Uray County, and Don Batchelder, Uray County Commissioner. And that concludes this episode of Local Motion. This program is available at kvnf.org. Next Tuesday, April 14th at 6 p.m., we'll have another live call-in show. This one will feature two survivors of COVID-19 and a healthcare professional. And listeners can call in with their questions or email them in advance to news@kvnf.org. For KVNF, I'm Jody Peterson.
And I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.